Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest episode of the Footmarks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at DefMango on Twitter. And with me today is not Jared, but it's Varun Alvaconda instead, who you can find literally nowhere, even if you try. And the topic for this particular episode of the Footmarks podcast, or the title, in fact, is Rohit's IPL glitch. And Varun, this is a really weird one because we all know that Rohit Sharma is now a two-time ICC trophy winning captain for India. He has been a bit of a revelation in white ball cricket. Of course, we remember the three double hundreds. And then we also now are well aware of Rohit 3.0 and how he just comes out smashing and obliterates bowlers in the power play. And of course, you think of his test career, of how he couldn't quite cut it at the start, and midway through that career, he came and he made it work. And for a period, or brief period in between, he was one of the best openers in test cricket as well. And funnily enough, this is a man, or batter, who has played all 18 seasons of the IPL, but has never scored 600 plus runs in a season. And that is despite being an anchor batter in the top three in most of those seasons. So all of this is really baffling, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, right? It's going to sound weird saying this, but he almost accidentally should have scored a 600-run season.
Yeah.
Like almost as an opener, right? Because, okay, fair enough. Up until 2018, like he mainly bats at three or four, so I completely understand that, because we didn't mention it in the piece. The other famous batter who doesn't have a 600-run season is Raina.
Hmm.
Right? And he batted at three.
Yeah.
But with Raina, he bats at three at Chennai, so it makes sense. So with Rohit, again, like for a long time, he was with Deccan, and then with Mumbai, he was batting at three and four. So I can kind of, I'll give him that. Like, it's difficult for you to be a three and four and make 600 runs in a year, right? I think the only one I remember doing it is AB in 2016. It's very hard for you to do it. But since 2019, he starts opening and he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, in 2019, right, he goes to England in the World Cup and has 500, but does nothing in the IPL. He barely makes 400 runs in the IPL season. His international and IPL form seem like they're running parallel universes.
Yeah, it really is a paradox. But it's interesting how you mentioned the Deccan Chargers, because in Rohit Sharma's early IPL days, he was a Deccan Charger, right? And he even won the second ever IPL title, with the Deccan under the leadership of Adam Gilchrist. And, you know, a lot of those early campaigns for him were high impact campaigns. In fact, up until 2013, he was definitely, or could be even considered, an IPL great. And it really kind of drops down from there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think until 2013, the one meh season he has is 2009. Right? 2014 to 2018, it's like a bit hit or miss. Like, since 2019, he's just been shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, it's as harsh as it sounds, and it pains me to say it, but, like, it doesn't make sense. I don't know if all of us are smart enough to figure out why it doesn't make sense. Like, only Rohit can probably ever answer this, right?
Yeah. No, and what's interesting to me is that we can't even say that, oh, he used to have high-impact IPL seasons because he was batting at four and now he's an opener. He is one of the most devastating white ball openers in the circuit, right? Go into international cricket, and if you don't get Rohit Sharma out in the first three overs, you're in for a treat if you are a spectator, and you need to kind of like start praying if you are an opposition team. And it just doesn't translate in the IPL. So you can't really pinpoint anything and say that, that's the reason.
Yeah, because in T20 years, I think he has five centuries, if I remember correctly.
Right. Something like that.
I don't think he is necessarily like, I don't know how to explain it. He's not like, he isn't someone who screams like an all-time great in T20 internationals the same way he does in ODI cricket for me, right?
Yeah.
He's not as good at T20 cricket as he is at ODI cricket, is basically what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way.
He does have 5 tons and 32 half centuries in T20 eyes. Yeah. So there you have it.
He's still really good at T20 internationals, right? T20 World Cup's legacy is a bit meh. Again, we don't really know. But even then, it's like in that 2024 IPL season, he's decent as a batter. Yeah. Then he goes to the T20 World Cup and completely changes the way he bats. That 92 or 41 versus Australia might be one of the best T20 innings we've ever seen.
Yeah,
by some distance, his best innings.
The way he took down Stark, right? That kind of set the tone. And you know, I even feel that India winning the T20 World Cup, one of the biggest reasons is Rohit 3.0 and the way he kind of transformed his own batting and showed his team how to play and got that buy-in from his team. So there's so much good stuff over there, but just somehow he continues to shit the bed in the IPL, so much so that we both agree that up until 2013, you know, he's on a trajectory where he could end up as an IPL great. And he has like a lot of high impact seasons. 24 onwards, Varun, he is a slightly plus player on true strike rate. And he is a negative player on true average. And for an anchor batter, being negative on true average doesn't make sense. And for Rohit Sharma, a slightly plus player on true strike rate doesn't make sense. You know?
Yeah. Again, as we said, right? He, again, either accidentally should have had like a 600 run season where he's averaging 45 at 135, for example, or high intent Rohit should have had a 450 run season where he's striking at 170. Both of those things haven't happened, right?
Hmm.
It's the 2024 season is the closest we've come to that, where he's striking at 150. But everyone was striking at 150 last season, Barra. It's not special.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, in the IPL, a strike rate of 150 isn't special anymore simply because of the impact sub rule. And then also throw in the way modern T20 batting has evolved, you know, with different kind of batters emerging onto the scene, like Abhishek Sharma, who have impeccable range and you don't really know what to do with them. It's kind of, you know, made Rohit's record look even worse. But despite that, despite the shift, it's not a good looking record. I mean, since 2018, and that's kind of around the time where he starts opening the batting, it's been an absolute flop show for Rohit Sharma in terms of impact, right?
Yeah. So I remember up until, I don't know if you followed it that much, up until 2018, the common, like, what do you call it? The theory behind his IPL inconsistency was that he wasn't opening. Everyone was like, oh, he's clearly opening for India and has done well for India. How do you expect him to do well at number 3 and 4? So in 2019 is when he becomes a proper opener again. To be fair to them, Mumbai win that year and he makes 400 runs.
Uh-huh.
Which is, but he's not really like a great season if you just look at numbers wise, right?
Yeah.
And then he's just isn't good as an opener as well. He's actually worse as an opener for Mumbai than he is as a number 3 and 4, right? I think we were talking about it. His numbers are not far off Parthiv Patel or Ajinkya Rahane as an opener.
Yeah. I've actually got this down in my notes that of openers with more than 2,000 IPL runs, only Parthiv Patel's record is worse than Rohit's, which is insane. And I cannot make sense of Rohit's struggles in the power play in the IPL, because that is kind of what you want Rohit Sharma in the team for. And the IPL is pretty much the only tournament where this phenomena happens.
Yeah, again, it's a bit crazy that, again, for like someone of his quality, like we're comparing him to Parthiv Patel, and even Ajinkya Rahane shouldn't be as good as Rohit. He shouldn't be in the same conversation, right? It's like,
yeah,
again, because his like partner in crime for a long time was Shikhar Dhawan, and Shikhar Dhawan has overperformed Rohit in the IPL. And he's as good as Rohit in T20 cricket.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's so many other anchor batters in the IPL who have better records than Rohit Sharma. So I think the only conclusion that we can make here that the Mumbai Rohit Sharma has basically been an imposter when you compare him to India's Rohit Sharma.
Yeah, that's completely true, right? And nothing about this makes any semblance of sense. Because like, you can't tell me somehow, like, it can't just be the quality of bowling, because even like if you say, like, I'd argue the IPL is, this has a higher floor but a lower ceiling than international cricket in terms of T20s. So I don't think the best IPL team, other than maybe like some Mumbai or KKR seasons we've had, are as good as like the best T20 team. But the worst IPL team is much better than the worst international T20 side.
Yeah. No, that definitely holds true. And it's also interesting because, you know, you don't have that pressure of playing for India when you're playing in an IPL jersey, right? Like, it should be tougher when you actually represent your national team. But both Virat and Rohit, you know, weirdly enough, their international T20 international numbers far exceed their exploits in the IPL. Even though, you know, Virat is still one of the best batters ever in the IPL. And he's also Rohit's nearest neighbor in terms of the way they bat, right? If you look at all phases. But Virat...
I was laughing when I saw that. I was like, this could not be more perfect.
if you compare the two with respect to IPL campaigns or batting campaigns, Virat has had 7 different seasons where he has scored 500 plus runs, and Rohit has done that once in now 17 plus seasons or 18 seasons. That really blows my mind.
That must have been in 2013. And in 2013, I don't know if you remember, they played more games than they usually do. It wasn't 14 games in the league group stages, it was 16.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. So he actually plays more. So if it was a normal season, I don't know if he does make 500 runs that season, right?
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And so I think with both of them, one thing I will, even with Virat, I don't think his IPL record looks as good, mainly because he's an Indian batter. And if you're a young Indian batter, you play when you're not very good, because he plays when he's really young and he plays when he's out of form. Because because 2008 to 2010, Virat's terrible. If he was an overseas player, he doesn't get a game. 2020 to 2022, he's completely out of form. If he was an overseas player, he doesn't get a game, right? I think if you ignore those seasons, Virat's numbers look much better. But I don't think you'd say he's like on Gale or AB's level, even with that. But then again, I think we have to sometimes like be almost a bit like, we need to almost be careful sometimes with like Indian batters in general, like Pant may be the other one. But no, there's not a chance in that Rishabh Pant plays a game if he was an overseas cricketer, right? Yeah. But and he's had an incredible peak. So I think Rohit, there is a part of that with Rohit. His IPL record looks worse because he's an Indian batter. If he was an overseas batter, he would have been dropped from the IPL a long time ago. Because I was thinking about this, right? How different is Rohit Sharma than Martin Guptill or Aaron Finch in T20 cricket, where they all do well in the T20 internationals, but can't hack the IPL, right?
Yeah, it is a very, very weird phenomenon, honestly. And it's not even like Rohit hasn't had IPL success in terms of silverware. I mean, he's a 5-time IPL winning captain, for crying out loud. He's tied with MS Dhoni. He's the record holder, right? And it's weird because, you know, when your team wins the title, odds are that you obviously had a plus season. And it's not like he's played poorly, right? But he hasn't run riot with the bat either in any of those seasons, to the point where you could say that there isn't any single Mumbai Indians title which you would just kind of amount to Rohit Sharma destroying opposition teams with the bat. Like, oh, that season where Rohit annihilated other teams and Mumbai won, that's not a story.
Yeah. I think Mumbai in general is more of a team-based, like it's a unit success. I think because they had seasons where like they win, but the highest run scorers only made like 450 runs, right?
Yeah.
They're not very individual dependent. So that does make sense. But one thing I was noticing with Rohit and Mumbai Indians is he doesn't really like, I don't know how to explain it. He's not tried very hard to put his own identity and transformation into it. Because with Indian T20 cricket, right? Let's say he was an anchor. He was an anchor under Dhoni's captaincy and then Kohli's captaincy. But to be fair to him, the moment he got his own captaincy, he started batting quicker.
True.
He doesn't really do that for Mumbai Indians. He's been captaining since 2013. At what point would you say Rohit has, like, what do you call it, like, transformed his way of playing to just show the world what he's doing, right?
Interesting. It's interesting because I was listening to Robbie Uthappa and Jared discuss Rohit. I think this was probably the first episode of Kimapa. And Robbie mentioned how, you know, he lost his captaincy and sometimes you don't really know what your place is in the dressing room. He was captain before that as well. The trend has just continued. If anything, he was good last season, right? He had like some good knocks. So it doesn't add up. Like, I don't think there is any correlation over here.
I was actually thinking, I don't know if this is true, but maybe it's the opposite. Because from 2008 to 2013, he wasn't actually a regular member of the Indian team, right? He was kind of semi-regular. Was he more motivated to do well in the IPL because he wasn't an Indian star? Because by the time he got like the double hundred, I think his place was relatively cemented. I don't think anyone was questioning his place, his international place at that point. But because I think the moment he becomes an Indian star, is I think when he's, I wonder if he just doesn't take IPL as seriously. Like, is there a bit of Aravinda or like Mark Waugh about him in IPL cricket where he comes to the IPL, he's like, what's the point of me having a 600 run season?
That's and an interesting
like
one.
A great thing, right? Because again, for India, because we talk about Mumbai Indians, like who's the worst in that great Mumbai Indian side? The worst batter might have been Krunal Pandya, right?
True.
India has had some horrible T20 teams before 2019, like truly terrible. I think there was a team, T20 team, where I think it was Rahane, Gambhir, and then Kohli, Raina, Rohit. Like, it goes crazy. There's so many anchors in that side. I wonder if he just feels more responsible to carry it, right?
Yeah.
I can't make sense of why he suddenly just turns his brain off in the IPL.
Yeah. Anyway, I have some thoughts to share with respect to that. But before that, we shall take a short break. You guys are watching the Footmarks podcast with Behram and Varun, and we'll be back in like half a minute or so.
Sometimes you just need to take the slips out and bowl defensively. And you also need to be careful with your computer's defense as well. If you need a VPN, go Nord. NordVPN.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months and gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. So put in some dot balls and turn them into maidens via NordVPN.com/Kimber.
Welcome back to the Footmarks podcast. You guys are with Behram and Varun. And just before we went on a short break, Varun kind of laid forward a very, very interesting theory that up until 2013, Rohit Sharma wasn't a regular in the Indian side. And so maybe he was trying harder in the IPL. And once he became a regular Indian, not just a regular Indian, part of the Indian squad, but also a star, perhaps he went into some sort of comfort zone in the IPL and didn't feel like he needed to do much. But my counter argument to that, Varun, is that when you don't care as much, shouldn't that take the pressure entirely off of you when you just let loose, like without giving a fuck?
Yeah, but I think there's a difference between no pressure and not trying, I guess. That's what I'm thinking about. I don't think it's like, I'm not saying that he necessarily has less pressure. I'm just saying he just doesn't care enough about doing well.
Interesting.
So as we spoke about before, he wasn't really trying to be like, I don't know, like a forward-thinking batter from my experience. Uh-huh. He was more than happy just being part of the system as one of the guys and then doing what he can on the field as a captain, right?
Yeah.
And off the field as a captain. And we have to give him credit for that, right? A lot of the current Indian stars did come up under him, right?
True.
And if you ask a lot of players, they say a lot of great things about Rohit and his what he does off-field for you.
Yeah, so the Rohit IPL glitch doesn't work on his captaincy. If anything, he kind of got elevated to become Indian captain because of his IPL captaincy exploits. So also, just kind of want to, just emphasize that what we've just discussed here is mere conjecture. And
yeah,
only Rohit only Rohit can kind of confirm that sort of stuff. So don't go out there and attack Varun in the comments, Rohit fans.
I think it's well past that. Like, I'm going to get attacked by Kohli and Rohit fans again.
Well, I mean, Kohli fans will be happy because we drew that comparison of how Rohit was Kohli's nearest neighbor and Kohli has 7 500-plus run seasons.
Kohli's much better batter than Rohit in T20 cricket. I will happily say
that. Tell that to Estelle Vasudevan, who picked Rohit in our all-time IPL 12, right? Over Kohli. Pissed off the Kohli fans. And then, good areas can dish out some real gems, I suppose, in that regard. But anyway, there's some more stuff I want to talk to you about, Varun, and it's more technical, right? Now, I was looking at the impact statistics that you guys kind of chalked up, you know, for Rohit, and I was really amazed when I saw that Rohit Sharma, on average, takes 20 balls before he has a positive impact on a game of IPL, right? Like, this is in stark contrast to Rohit 3.0, where I would say, give the man 20 balls and it might be too late.
Yeah, again, that's pretty standard for an anchor, right? I think Kohli's around that as well. Like, he's not a particularly good anchor, Rohit, in the IPL, but he's still an anchor in a way most of the season. Most of his IPO career. So I think it naturally makes sense. He does take a lot of time to start being a positive batter, right? So with Kohli, you can say Kohli is like, let's say, an impact, takes 20 balls to have a positive impact. We know with Kohli, with regularity, will give you a 70 or 45, 100 or 55, right? Rohit isn't doing that. He's maybe like at best, he was like gets to 35 or 30 and then he's getting out cheaply. How long did he finally get 100 versus Chennai last season, right? In the IPO. And even in that 100, he just slows down after a while because he's just, and that's a game they should have won and they don't. And he's still, I think he remains not out in the end, right?
Yes, he does remain not out in the end. I'm quite sure you're right over there. And it really is an interesting one because at least now, you know, whatever the past may have been, you expect Rohit Sharma to just go berserk. And we still haven't seen it. Now, just a disclaimer, folks, this was recorded before Mumbai versus Chennai on Sunday. And also excuse the loud banging because my house broke down in the hailstorm, so it's being reconstructed. But yes, if Rohit goes on to score a ton versus Chennai on Sunday, then well, this was recorded before that. But anyway, there's more stuff I want to talk to you about with respect to Rohit versus different bowling types. Now, Varun, anyone who has covered Rohit Sharma's career or even witnessed it, right, would be well aware of Rohit Sharma's very apparent weakness versus left-arm pace. And it's been well-documented. Whenever, like, Pakistan play India, for instance, if it's Amir or Shaheen up against Rohit, everyone's talking about it, right? So, fine, we get it. He is or has a lot of troubles versus left-arm pace. But what I was interested, quite amazed to see, actually, was that barring right arm pace, he hasn't really dominated any other bowling type in the IPL and is particularly poor when the ball is spinning away from him. So, like, one trick pony then?
Yeah, like, you'd expect this kind of record from him. He's a good batter. Liam Livingstone. Not Rohit Sharma, right? Like, and again, like, his numbers as a spin don't make sense because this is the man that was the only Indian batter who was making runs on the ranked turners regularly. So I don't know if he's suddenly forgotten how to play spin in the IPL. And he's playing spin in the IPL at Mumbai most of the games again. So it should be easier for you.
That right there, Varun, I think is a fantastic point because you would kind of understand all of this if Rohit was a Chennai Super King, right? Okay. He's playing his home cricket at Chepauk. Sure, he doesn't have a 500
and Chennai,
or a 600
again, are a slow scoring run, team for most of the time, right?
600 run plus season or whatever. I would understand if he was a Chennai Super King. He is a Mumbai Indian. It is a high scoring team that plays their home games at the Wankhede at a very decent batting strip. So that just goes on to make this even more complex on, or with respect to how Rohit hasn't been able to crack it the way we expect him to.
Yeah. That to me is a bigger issue than left arm seam again. I know people say like, oh, he struggles against quality left arm seam. But if you look at it, almost every batter in cricket history struggles against quality left arm seam. Because it's so rare. So I'm not as bothered by that. It seems like a more recent issue to me that he does seem to be like every innings he's finding a way to get out to left arm seam. But then again, I don't know how much of that is just a technical flaw or just a random occurrence. Because is he just in bad form so he's not lasting the power play? And because he might only face left arm seam in the power play.
Yeah, well, I mean, his power play numbers aren't particularly good. They're quite dire. Yeah. And it doesn't improve in, you know, the overs that come after the power play, like 7 to 11. He does obviously improve towards the latter half of a T20 innings, but that's most batters, right? The closer you get to the end, you kind of speed things up. And we just mentioned his struggles, right? Or whatever. But in terms of his USP, I was looking at his six hitting ratio versus right arm pace, and it's terrific, right? Absolutely tremendous. But that's like literally the only spectacular thing about Rohit Sharma, the IPL batter, which tells me that his USP is smashing right arm seamers for sixes. And he is so much more than that. We know that because we've watched him play for India and successfully as well and lift trophies as well now. It's just like, it's complete nonsense.
Yeah, the sixes thing shouldn't be surprised to anyone. He does hit an insane amount of sixes. Yeah. Very effortlessly, in fact, right? And because he hits them in the power play, because six hitting in power play is not as common as we think it does. If anything, in the power play, you see a lot more fours because there's more gaps. There's no fielders outside, right?
Yeah.
So that's why he just, even there, is such a standout.
Yeah, well,
and I believe that's all pace, not just right on pace.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think there's a lot left to kind of discuss with respect to Rohit Sharma's not so glittering IPL career, the hitman's IPL woes, right?
I think one thing I was just looking at randomly today, it's not in the piece, right? For some reason, like he averages 15 playing strike rotation shots in the IPL since 2019. No one does that. I think, for example, like Kohli is at 50, Rakhir Rahul is at 60, right? Averaging 50, that is a very concerning thing because that means he's basically getting stuck in a way that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, that is quite fascinating. And also, like, you expect boundaries with Rohit Sharma. You don't expect him to go out there and run hard singles or twos and threes anyway.
Yeah,
but I'm fine
thing
with
is,
that
again,
as long as
T20 international, that isn't an issue. Strike rotation isn't an issue for him in T20 international cricket or ODI cricket or test cricket.
Yeah.
It's only an IPL problem where he can't, for some reason, get off strike that well without getting out.
I think by this point, we've all established that none of this makes sense. It's not like you watch this podcast and you learn something new today and that kind of makes everything make sense to you that that's why Rohit sucks at the IPL.
We basically spent 25 minutes talking about how he isn't a good IPL batter, but we don't know why he's in a good IPL batter.
Yeah, it makes zero sense to me, especially given the fact that Rohit 3.0 is one of the best transformations that I've seen in recent cricket, right?
He's group chat, right? I think I hate ODI cricket, but I'll never miss high intent Rohit.
Yeah, and you saw that in the Champions Trophy. You saw that in the T20 World Cup. Both of those trophies that India won, I think Rohit had a massive part to play because even in this Champions Trophy, he doesn't go on to get a big score. But if he's out there for 17 deliveries and he's scoring 30 runs, that might be all that you need in Dubai, right? Stuff like that. So anyway, whilst, of course, he cannot be considered an IPL great, right? Rohit Sharma, in terms of his batting. Of course, captaincy is a different story. But then again, we also know, Varun, that Rohit 3.0 still has some gas left in his tank. He hasn't even retired from ODIs, for instance, right? And he's going to play a fair few more IPLs, I would guess, because, well, who would say no to that money, right? Even after India or hanging his boots up for India, I expect
he's
him to play
a few. 16 crores to just be an impact sub batsman. Yeah. He doesn't know even fielding anymore.
Exactly. So even once he retires... from international cricket, I expect him to keep playing the IPL. Do you think, given that everything that we know about Rohit 3.0 and the fact that he clearly has some gas left in his tank, can he turn around his IPL batting numbers in the twilight of his career?
Yes, mainly because we made a video on him.
Yeah, and now that I have done a podcast on him, you know what? I wouldn't even be surprised that by the time this podcast comes out, Rohit has already slammed like a 40-ball 100 versus Chennai.
Yeah, not the least bit surprising to me, because I think his last three innings have been like a very good case study to like test out the limits of the impact equation. Yeah. He's made, 17 of 9, 18 of 12, and 25 of 16, right? And he's had a positive impact in every game that he's done it. So if I'd love it for like just for the like science's sake, he averages 20 at 170. Just to see what that does. Because we've never seen that. Even Narayan hasn't done that in a season.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's to see if this Footmarks podcast can turn things around for Rohit. Because honestly, we've been on quite a hot streak when it comes to jinxing and reverse jinxing. And yeah, I mean...
We've had India's home series.
Yep.
Manus's runs.
Yes. We had... The biggest one has to be the Test series versus New Zealand, right? Like, that was the hardest jinx ever.
100%. Like...
Yes. There are a few other ones as well. I can't quite remember now. I think as soon as we did a piece on Sai Sudarshan last season, he got a single digit score or something.
Yes, he did. I remember that.
Yeah, I'm sure all of you viewers and listeners probably remember a few more, but we also felt it was necessary to kind of cover Rohit Sharma's IPL exploits in a separate podcast, because it matters. And this is a guy who is literally like in the last decade been one of the best all format batters globally. So... the fact that he's been shit at the IPL needs to be spoken of. But anyway, thank you so much, Varun, for taking out the time and doing this with me, buddy. And let's see what we come up with next, folks. I know we have a knockout episode planned for early May, and they're going to be quick picks all the way through. And Jared's going to come up with a lot of red inkers as well. So you can look forward to all of that content. And also, do not forget to go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. That can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. But that's it for today. Let us know all about all of your thoughts about Rohit and the IPL in the comment section below. And yeah, like, share, subscribe, all that fun stuff. And we shall see you soon enough in another Good Areas podcast. But that's it for now. Have a good one, folks, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.